your attention tonight to Psalm 20. We're going to read first the first five verses, but then focus especially on one of the verses and one concept that is there powerfully and wonderfully for us. Psalm 20, and note how the things that are mentioned here are the things your heart wants. You want God to do these things. David's praying that God will do these things. And they're exactly what your heart desires. It's wonderful to see. Psalm 20, for the director of music, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you when you're in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious and will lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. That's a wonderful appeal to God. A wonderful expression that we have, and thinking about those details could wonderfully encourage us as we come to God and say, this is what we desire from God. But what I'd like to look at in a special way is the first verse, and really the last part of the first verse, where David says, may the Lord answer you when you're in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. And really, that's the yearning, that's the desire that David has that I'd like to focus upon. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. We're going to look at the name of the God of Jacob. And we're going to do that first by looking at Jacob and then look at Jehovah. All the way through, the name the Lord is always capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. This is Jehovah, God of the Bible. This is the God who revealed himself to Moses, the God that manifest himself to Abraham, the one that showed himself, the one that is working out the whole panorama of history. This is the Lord. And he's saying, may the Lord, may Jehovah answer you when you're in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob comfort you, protect you. And so we want to look at Jehovah, and we want to look at us. Those are the three divisions, Jacob, Jehovah, and us. And the focus is on the last part of verse 1, may the name of the God of Jacob protect you. Let's pray. Lord, as we've read this portion of this psalm, our hearts do resonate with these things that were the desire of David. Lord, we long for these things. We long to see them in each other's lives. We long to know the reality of these things in our lives. Oh Lord, we praise you and thank you that that which is revealed so many years ago in this book speaks to where we are today, in our need today. What a glorious book this is that you've given us. And what a wonder it is that you've granted us the very spirit that inspired this book. You've granted him to our hearts that we may understand and receive the promises that you have given. Oh Lord, that we're part of a great company that you are raising up for yourself, that spans the whole of history and is spread across the panorama of history, the people of God, that you've been pleased to work that same spirit in our hearts that you worked in David. Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you for the privilege of gathering today at your word and for the confidence that you will give us your Holy Spirit to understand your word and to appreciate it. Speak to us tonight, Lord. Encourage us and lift us up. Grant us your help and your strength by your Holy Spirit. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Enable us the better to praise you because of our considering your word tonight. Bless us and cause your face to shine upon us in this passage. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Because it's named the God of Jacob, spoken of as the God of Jacob, we want to look at this Jacob who it's speaking about. And this Jacob is spoken of quite a lot in the Bible. Many references. We know very much about the life of Jacob because God has been pleased to reveal that to us in a wonderful way. We know that as a young man, he desired the blessing of God. And we always say that's the great blessing and that's the great honor to Jacob. that he desired the blessing of God. And we learned as a child, he cared about the blessing of God and his brother didn't. And we know that's the case, and that was the good thing about him. That was a good thing about him. But it was one of the few good things about him, unfortunately. Because when wanting that blessing of God, he tricked his brother. He took advantage of his brother's weakness. His brother was weak because he didn't want the blessing of God. So his brother was a sitting duck, as it were, for this weakness. But he tricked him. He found a way to get the blessing from him. He found a way to get his agreement that Jacob get the blessing and not Esau. And we disdain in some ways Esau for not appreciating it. And we think he sold this for that. But at the same time, well, Jacob wanted it. Jacob was not the firstborn, and he wanted the blessing of the firstborn. He wanted God. But it wasn't right the way he went at it. And it wasn't right for him to trick his brother. He made a fool of his brother. Later on, when it happens, he gets out of it because he's afraid of the retaliation of his brother. So he didn't do a very good thing there. And then, of course, when it came to actually getting the blessing, he tricked his dad. Now, he listened to his mother, and she didn't give very good advice. You know, we tell children, and we always tell them that you should honor your parents. But if your parents want you to do something that's wrong, you can't do it. And you must refuse to do it, even though you may get repercussions from your parents. You don't just do everything your parents say. You obey the parents and the Lord. A parent tells you to go into the supermarket and steal anything you could on the shelf. Is it right for a child to do that? They're obeying their parents. Of course, there are such things in this world. I remember working in a grocery store when the word would go out when the gypsies came. And they really would come. The kids would run in every aisle and pick up everything they could. And how could you stop them? And they were told by their parents to do that. Did that make them good? Because they obeyed mom and dad? No, parents should guide their children in the way of God. And you're just not automatically good because you do what they said. If your dad says on the phone, when you pick up the phone, tell him I'm not here. What a terrible thing for a kid to be put into that position. Father saying, tell him I'm not here. Yeah, sitting there, tell him I'm not here. That's a terrible position for a kid to be in. And it ought never to be the case. But Jacob did listen to his mother, and they tricked the brother. Not just from the brother's consent not to take the blessing, but by the father's determination to give him the blessing, take advantage of the fact that his father's blind, pose as his brother. I don't know how he was fooled by goat skins on his hands so that his dad would feel the hair and think, well, this hair, Esau is hairy, so this must be Esau. And how his dad was fooled, I don't know, but he must have been nervous while he was doing it, but he did it, and he got the blessing. And his father knew that he'd gotten the blessing, and even though he lamented it, the blessing is passed, it's given. And Jacob got it. But of course they were anger because of it, and Esau is ready to kill him. At least the word is he's ready to kill him when dad dies. And so Jacob's got to flee. And so he runs from the possible danger of his brother, and he goes, and he's homeless. He's got no place to go. Remember, that's the place where he has a rock for a pillow. He's homeless. And he's off running. And then when he gets to where he's going, does fall in love, but gets tricked. Now, it's no sin to get tricked, but it's embarrassing to get tricked. It's not very smart to get tricked. And it doesn't make you feel very good to be tricked. And he was tricked in a pretty significant thing, believing it's one woman, one girl that he has as a wife, and it's another one. And he's got more years to work for the... Now, that would at least embarrass him. He made some stupid decisions and was foolish in getting tricked. And you always kick yourself about how foolish you were for getting tricked. Well, there was Jacob, and that's the thing he did. Now, you could say he deserved it. He tricked others. Well, yeah, he deserved it. But it's never wonderful to see somebody get what they deserve. In fact, it's always ought to make us sad that people get what they deserve. Because by the mercy of God, we're not getting what we deserve. And we would wish for others that they would not get what they deserve, but get the grace of God. But he got what he deserved, and there's something in us that says, good for him. He deserved it. So he worked and labored, and then he needed to leave, but he didn't do very well in getting along with his father-in-law. And in fact, he thought he better get out of there, and maybe he could trick him. And so he's got this elaborate scheme to trick him. Now, the elaborate scheme didn't do it. The peeling of rods before the sheep as they're drinking and that whole thing. Now, come on. That doesn't work. That's not the way you can do it. No, sheep don't give a certain color lamb because they look at something. This is silly. But he thought it would work. And God blessed it and gave him the blessing. God intended to bless him. But he tricked Laban. Is that honorable? No, that's not a very good thing to do, it seems to me. Wouldn't it be better to work straightforwardly and be honest? Seems to me being honest and straightforward and working things out, talking it through would be better. Didn't do it better. He did some things that, well, really they're foolish, except God was pleased to give him the flock anyway. Because God was going to bless him, but it wasn't because he did this. He just tries a silly scheme because that's the kind of person he is. And of course you see other elements in his life that aren't what they should be. The wife that he married deceived her father. You know the stories, they're terrible. You're careful when you tell them to kids. You tell them certain parts of the story. You don't tell them everything, because Jacob doesn't always come across very well. Tricked by his uncle, but had tricked his uncle as well. And he was running away. And he wasn't terribly brave either. Remember when he returned to his land and he heard that his brother was coming with a force of people and was scared to death? Well, his conscience ought to have made him a little afraid, and it might be that Esau would have dealt with him. Now, in fact, Esau was satisfied with the goods of this world, and Esau had everything he wanted. So he didn't care that about the blessing still. But Jacob didn't know that, and he thought maybe his brother was going to hurt him, and so he prayed to God that God would protect him. Now, you've done that at times. Prayed to God that God would protect you. And then afterwards, do everything you can to make it happen. And so this great man that prayed to God didn't just trust God, but remember, he divides his flock, his group, in a different way and has a way that he's still going to get around him. And if Esau attacks them, we'll flee. And so he's still manipulating. Even though he prayed to God and asked God to help him, he's still manipulating. He's a manipulator. And in it all, that God obviously worked it out. Now, intertwined with all these things are other things about Jacob. We've got a lot of things about Jacob in the Bible. What kind of a man was he? Well, he was not a very good father. Jacob showed open favoritism to one of his sons. He's got 12 sons. Open favoritism to one of his sons. And he'd not been the kind of example as a father that all the other sons would want to be upright and honest. Why would they want to be upright and honest concerning his life? They're not going to, if they're like their dad, would they be happy that one son gets an honor over the other? They'd be all the more likely to be bitter over it, because Jacob himself wasn't that great a man and wasn't that great a father and didn't always make good decisions. And so it was a setup for them to be angry and to be resentful. And why were they angry and resentful? Because of the kind of dad that Jacob was. And it was foolish for him to do that. He didn't realize it. He didn't see that it was foolish, but it was foolish for him to do it. And the consequences that came, while they were terrible and the brothers are to be blamed for what they were, bottom line, Jacob was very much to blame in the way things happened. It isn't good to show that kind of open and clear and flagrant favoritism of one brother over all the others. It just isn't wise. Now, it's not to say that you don't have an easier time getting along with one child than you do with another. You love all the children equally, but some are easier to love and some are easier to like, at least. Now, you love them all, but sometimes you don't like the way they behave and you can't like them all. Now, God didn't tell us we had to like them all. He said we had to love them all. And there's a way of loving them and being honest and right to them. But to say you like them all in the same way, well, that's another element. And you can't like everybody. Praise God, God didn't tell us we have to like all our fellow men. He said we must love our fellow men. We must be out for their good and want the best for them and be concerned for them and not to hurt them. We have to love our fellow man. We don't have to like our fellow man. And we couldn't like them if we had to. We can't turn that on. So I can't say that Jacob had to like all his children equally well. But he ought not to have shown that kind of favoritism to one. It wasn't right. That's what Jacob did. He wasn't a very good father. He made many unwise choices. Why did he choose to marry some women and to have others there in the relationship of marriage but not be married? And create the resentment. There's resentment anyway to having many wives. Every time the Bible has anybody with multiple wives, there's strife, there's problems. Multiple wives always cause problems. I remember being told that the Chinese figure for war is drawn a little like this, with a line and two things here, and the picture is two women under one roof, and it's the symbol for war, from what I've been told in Chinese calligraphy. It's two women under one roof. Shouldn't Jacob have been wise enough to know there's a problem? Shouldn't he be aware there's enmity between the wives? Well, there certainly was. And did Jacob do anything to keep it from happening? No. I don't know what you can do. I don't know. What do you do when you've got all those wives? I mean, but was it wise? No, he wasn't always wise. And the way he handled it wasn't always good. And people paid the penalties. And Jacob and Joseph suffered because of the effects of his dad's kind of fatherhood. And Joseph was the more amazing because he grew up in a very dysfunctional family, in a circumstance that is exceedingly difficult for children. And that's where Joseph grew up, and that's why Joseph is such an amazing example for us. The more you see the dysfunction of his family situation, the more you realize that God gave remarkable grace to Joseph. Well, Joseph wasn't what he was because of his dad. He was what he was in spite of his dad. And it's wonderful to see that. Oh, may the Lord help those of us to whom this applies to be what we ought to be, if it must be in spite of our dad, be what you ought to be. I mean, if you've got a dad that's worthy of being imitated, then imitate him. But if you haven't, then remember that God is your father and seek to be the father you ought to be and not the father you had. Many a person has to try to be the father he ought to be rather than the father he had. Because that happens in families, and it certainly happened in Jacob's family. He was not the father that the kids should have imitated. Well, that was Jacob. Jacob seemed to resist God wherever he could. It's amazing. He resisted God. Remember the wrestling with God that there was. And God had to put his hip out of joint to win the battle because God wasn't going to lose to this guy. And he limped the rest of his life. And why was it? Because he was struggling with God. It's so foolish to struggle with God. You should accept God. You should accept his will in your life and embrace it and find help. Was Jacob a typical one that did that? No, he wasn't. He was one that fought God. And then, of course, he was despairing. Remember that amazing statement from Jacob. Everything is against me. At the time in his life where it looks like he's going to have to send now his present favorite son off to Egypt, and he'll be bereft of the two sons that were children of this favorite wife. Favoritism everywhere, it's terrible. Two sons that were his sons of his favorite wife who died, and now the second son he has to send away, and he says, everything's against me. Despairing. Now, you and I know everything wasn't against him. Everything was for him. God was working in all those things to accomplish his great purposes. God was with him, but he didn't think so. He wasn't a man of glorious and wonderful faith, but he's a man that would tend to despair and say, everything's against me. Not necessarily positive, a negative sort of person in many ways. Remarkable, the person. And then he was reluctantly agreeing to what God wanted him to do. He went. Glad to hear that his son was there, but was it get in that car and let's go? No, it was, okay, we have to go. He did want to see his son. And so that all happened. It was wonderful, but he was reluctant to go to Egypt. And remember when he died, what he wanted was, take my bones back and bury them in my land. Not saying, oh, look at the wonderful lands God given us in Egypt. This is where I long to be. This is the new beginning of our family. Here's where I will die and be buried, and my children will come back to this place. No, he's not happy there. Take my bones and put them back next to my father. My grandfather is my father's bones. I'm not happy here. So he wasn't happy where he ended up. This is Jacob. Wonderful stories. Love to tell the children about those things, and you can see so many wonderful things in them. But look at the man himself. This is Jacob. Was he an exemplary wonderful, great person. Well, what was good about Jacob? He wanted the blessing of God. In all of it, he wanted the blessing of God. He eventually turned to God. It's good when you eventually turn to God. It'd be good if you start from the beginning and always grow up wanting and loving and serving God. If you could come to Christ as a child and live for Jesus and get an example and help from your family so you live for Jesus your whole life. If you came to Christ so early you couldn't remember when you didn't love Jesus, what a wonderful thing for that to be. But if you can't have that, the fact that you eventually come to God is awfully good. And that is true. He eventually came to God. He never entirely lost sight of the blessing of God upon his people. Never lost sight of the fact that that is good, that we're blessed by God. Esau never had the sight of it. Never saw any value in the blessing. Didn't particularly feel bad that he didn't have it. He had wives and family and he had goods. And so he didn't fight Jacob. He forgot. He gave up. Not because he's so gracious, but why fight? He had all he wanted. And all that Jacob had was the blessing, and look what it got him. Well, actually, it did get him a lot of sons, and it was good, but not that much better than what Esau had, from Esau's perspective. So Esau didn't feel that he lost anything particularly, but Jacob always wanted the blessing of God. Never totally left him. Even when he was homeless and a stone for a pillow, he said, "This is the gateway of God, of heaven." And he had the dream. There was always that something in him that wanted the blessing of God and delighted in the blessing. Not what was good about Jacob, and we're thankful that he was that. But if we wanted to say that Jacob is a wonderful example of somebody that we ought to admire, I'm not sure how you can encourage people to admire Jacob. We could find individual ways in which he prayed, and yeah, you could find maybe some places that you could apply in some way that could tell children this is a good man, but you'd have to look carefully to find those places. He wasn't what he should have been. Well, how about God? Now, how did God, the second section that we're looking at is Jehovah, the Lord God, the Lord God of history, the God of the Bible, the God who orders all things after the counsel of his will, the God that has raised up a people for himself and revealed himself and drawn men and women and boys and girls to himself, that encourages others by giving them faith and enabling them to walk with him. This is the great God that's dealing with. How did Jehovah God deal with Jacob? Well, he bore with him. A lot of bearing with Jacob. You and I who believe in this God have to bear with Jacob as he comes to see it. And as God, Jacob goes through all these shenanigans, you bear with him. We hope, we trust in God, we see God's faithfulness, but we're bearing with Jacob, and God bore with Jacob. That was wonderful that he did that. And he overruled in Jacob's choices. Jacob made choices and God overruled to bring blessing out of them. They weren't necessarily the best choices. The things he decided upon, he didn't stand, go all night in prayer before he made the decision. He saw a girl that looked attractive to him, he wanted her, and bargained for her, and opened himself up to be tricked because of he didn't read the fine print. Well, that's not the way to do things. You pray, God, you guide me. God, open the way. God, close the door if it's not good and bring the one that's right. He didn't come in the right way. What did God do? Overruled to bless him. Yes, he got Leah and Rachel, but got a lot of problems in the whole situation. But what did God do? God gave him 12 sons. And those 12 sons were going to be the king of the people of God. God was using it to raise up a nation for himself. Different tribes, God was using it. Did it all seem good? No, but God overruled to make it good. Ultimately, God kept them. God protected him. Did he give him what he deserved? No. When he was in danger, what did God do? God delivered him. Did he always give God the glory as he should? No, it might be sometimes he wiped his brow and said, "Phew, that was lucky." I mean, he could have, the sense that he always sensed God helped me to get through it. No, I don't know that he always did give God the proper glory, but what did God do? God blessed him anyway. And God continued to help him and bless him, overruling in his bad choices, using his weakness. Yes, he was weak. How did God use his weakness? To get more glory to himself. The wonder that God's brought out of this man's life is wonderful. The results of it are wonderful for you and me as well, because we have the fruit of all that was going on. So what did God do with Jacob's bad choices? Blessed us. Overruled in that remarkable way to bring this good out of evil. Were the things that Jacob did, were they good? No, they weren't good. But did God overrule to make them good for himself and for his family and for the rest of eternity? Yes, he did. That's what God did. There's where Jehovah comes in. He took this one, Jacob, and this is what he did. He brought about his purposes through Jacob. He had glorious purposes that he intended to do. He'd said to Abraham what he would do. He'd raise a great nation out of Abraham's seed. And Isaac seems to be just holding the fort in between. I think sometime I'll do a study on Isaac, because it seems that Isaac is just sort of holding the fort in between, and then God jumps over Isaac and does something with his children, it seems. And I'm sure Isaac has more to him than I have yet discovered. But he jumped over Isaac sort of and dealt with Jacob and used Jacob to do something really remarkable. Brought about his purposes using his weakness and guiding him anyway. Jacob was not always seeking God's guidance, but God guided him anyway. Isn't that amazing that Jacob, with all his weaknesses, God guided him anyway? Did he know that the way he was going was right? God guided him anyway. Was he always right in his choices? God guided him anyway. That's a wonderful thing God did in his life. God guided him anyway. Of course, we want, if we go astray and in the wrong direction, that God will guide us anyway. Better that God guide us by our seeking his face and knowing this is the path, walk ye in it. Rather have that. But it's wonderful when God guides you anyway. And that's what God did for him. And he delivered him from danger. How many dangers would there be to somebody with a group of children and a group of people that are limited by the youth of many of the kids, and they're moving through strange lands, coming back to his own land? How many dangers are there, those of robbers and marauders who would come and destroy? But God kept him safe. Now, he feared it when he came near to Esau. He thought he'd suffer. Well, he could have suffered along the way from strangers who decided, hey, there's a group going by, let's get them. But they didn't. God protected him. God delivered him from danger. And God brought good out of evil all the way through. Brought good out of evil. Accepted what faith he had. He wasn't a great example of faith. But God accepted the faith he had. The faith he had was real. Wasn't strong like it should have been. Wasn't something that governed his life in the way it ought to have. There are many weaknesses about his faith. But God accepted the faith he had. What a wonderful God this is. And God kept him hoping to the end. Even though there's times he seemed to despair, he didn't lose hope altogether. And even when he wasn't all that happy where he was in Egypt, he did hope that he'd get back and his bones would be put back in the land. He never lost hope completely. That's wonderful, what God did for Jacob, that he kept him hoping to the end and ultimately gave him that which he desired. His bones were buried next to Abraham's and Isaac's. This is not to do with the message at all. Do you know that the cave of Machpelah has never been lost? The cave of Machpelah is where Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are buried. It's never been lost. You can't go into it. Those that revere it guard it, but it's never been lost. You can, in some places in the Holy Land, you can visit, and they say, this seems to be where the Mount of Transfiguration was, and this was where this was, and you never know for sure. But the Cave of Machpelah, you know for sure. You could stand outside the Cave of Machpelah and know Abraham's bones are in there. Isaac's bones are there. Jacob's bones are there. Joseph's bones are there. And no one lets you get in. There aren't grave robbers. They've never been robbed. It's not been robbed. I think that's just amazing. I think if I went to the Holy Land, the place I'd really want to see would be the Cave of Machpelah, where I would stand there knowing Abraham is there. I mean, that's nothing to do with his message. It just comes to my mind in terms of his getting where he wanted to be. It's wonderful. And if you go to Israel, would you get them to take you to the Cave of Machpelah and then come back and tell me about it? Maybe I'll go someday. But that's not part of the message. I just mentioned that because that's such an intriguing idea to me. being standing there outside the place where his bones are. But anyway, God blessed him. God gave him his desire, and God received him into glory. What a wonderful God it is to take the kind of God, man that Jacob was, and bless him in the way that he did. And in closing, I want to think about us and ask a couple of simple questions. What kind of God do you need? Do you need the God of Abraham, who will have an eternal purpose for you and your progeny and work in you to accomplish something that will touch all the nations of the earth? Is that the kind of God you need? How about the God of Moses? Do you need the God who raised him up to stand against a multitude and then bring them over and lead them into the promised land through all the difficulties and establishing his law and inspiring his word? Is that the God that you need? The God of Moses? Do you need the God of David? David, who was used of God in such a remarkable way to make the kingdom great. God had promised to Abraham that that God would make a great nation out of Israel. It became a great nation under David and Solomon. All the years taken, it became a nation, but it became a great nation under David and Solomon. Do you need the God of David? Do you need the God of Solomon? Is that the God you need tonight? No. The God you need is the God of Jacob. You're much more like Jacob than you are like Abraham. Much more like Jacob than you are like Moses. Much more like Jacob than you are like David. That's what you are. You don't always make right choices. You don't always do the right thing. You don't always have the right response to things. You haven't always got your life in order like it should be. You blunder. People take advantage of you. Of course, you can be angry at them for doing it, but you let yourself be fooled. You suffered because of some silly decision that you made. You thought you were going to benefit, and you didn't. Things didn't work like they should be. You didn't always have the sense of God's presence in your life always. And there are many a time when you look back on it, and there are times when you can declare the wonder of how great God was and undertook, but more often you look back and say, I blew it. I didn't know what I should have done. I suffered, but I deserved it. Isn't that your experience in life? Am I the only one? Or are most of us like that? Aren't we more of us like Jacob than like Abraham? Aren't we much more like Jacob than we are like Moses? Aren't we enormously more like Jacob than we are like David? Jacob is the kind of people we are. And when the Bible speaks of the God of Jacob, he's the God we need. May the God take every reference where the Bible talks about God as the God of Jacob. And may that be the more precious to us because we realize that's the God I need, the God of Jacob. May God be pleased to put that upon our hearts and rejoice when we hear the blessing upon the God that comes from the God of Jacob. He's the God of Jacob. He is God of the great mighty men of faith and mighty women of faith. He's their God too. But he's our God, and that's even more wonderful for us. He's the God of Jacob. Well, may the Lord make us to appreciate that tonight. May God make us to be thankful that our God is the God of Jacob. And so when we hear the prayer that David gives, may the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary, grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious and will lift up your banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. May that be so for us. And may it be the God of Jacob that does that. If that happens for us, it will be the God of Jacob who brought that to pass. Because we have the same hang-ups that Jacob had. And we've got the same blunders that Jacob had. And God, by his grace, deals such a way with the likes of us. May God cause us to rejoice and praise God for the name of the God of Jacob. That's what protects us. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the name of the God of Jacob. Yes, God, I am that bad. Yes, I am that bad, but I worship the God of Jacob. And we can encourage God. Jesus died for sinners. Jesus died for the unjust. Jesus died for the ones that did not deserve it. Jesus came not for the healthy, but for the sick. Jesus came not for the strong, but for the weak. What a wonderful encouragement it is that God is the God of Jacob. And may we be encouraged by that. And may God encourage us as much as we think about it. Let's pray. Great God, we thank you that you are the God of Jacob. We look at his life and see his many blunders, and we would be tempted to say, well, we're not that bad. But Lord, if we look more closely at the details of the little things that have happened to us and the little choices we've made, Lord, we're as bad as Jacob. We've done the same kind of things. We've resisted what you wanted us to do. We found ourselves fighting you. We've made choices that have been blunders. We've let ourselves be tricked. We've tricked others. Lord, we've done these things. We haven't trusted as we should. We've despaired. But thank you that by your grace you've kept hope within us, that you've given us a desire to still know you, that you've made us to want to be what we ought to be. Lord, you haven't allowed that to go. The seed remains within us. And we bless you and thank you for it, Lord. And we thank you that you are the God of Jacob. We run to you in that name. And we feel protected by the name of the God of Jacob. Bless us, we pray, as we meditate upon these things, as they pop into our minds at different occasions. Encourage our hearts, we pray, and help us to give all the glory to the one who loved us and gave himself for us, even Jesus. We do pray in his blessed name. Amen. In closing, we'd like